Hey, Tanano and LZ with you here on 710 ESPN. And it feels like, LZ, the Rams are doing quarterback Tinder, doesn't it?
Why do you say that, my friend?
Because it feels like we're just swiping through Goff and Wolford and like, do I swipe left on him? Do I swipe right on him? I can't really decide. I've narrowed it down. It's either that or The Bachelor. Like, I'm expecting Sean McVay to come out with a rose and just be like, here, you are the quarterback this week.
Well, the quarterback might be picked by Tinder, but the game is going to be Grindr because we're going to have to grind.
Oh, look at you.
You like that? I just made that up.
I know. And it actually works perfectly because also you are gay.
On most days. Every now and then I like to take a trip to the other
right.
side.
Like, it brings it all full circle, which is the best all part of the joke.
Yeah, exactly. But since COVID, I've been gay the whole time. I just, you know.
Just the whole time?
Social distance.
Socially distantly gay. I don't think Steve wants to hear that. but anyway. So are we saying that if Wolford was healthy, that he'd be the quarterback? Like, what are we saying here?
I'm saying he would probably be an option, and which was really my assumption heading into that game, to tell you the truth, because we're not quite sure. You know, Jared Goff's thumb injury aside, and Jared Goff's, you know, tendency not to perform as well when the pressure come aside, the weather is going to be a factor, more likely than not. And that means it's going to be a defensive struggle, and the run game is going to be important. So as many options for running that we have, I think that better suits us, which is why I thought, regardless of Goff's health, the Wolf was going to see himself out there.
Yeah, so I love that this time of year during the NFL season, what we do is we look at weather, right? They're playing Saturday, right? So as of now, technically now, there is light rain changing to snow overnight. On Friday, they have variable clouds with snow showers and snow in the evening. So that means there could be, is this 1 to 3 inches? So, you know, not a lot of snow. And then it looks like a little snowy, mostly rainy, crappy weather on Saturday. So it is going to be cold. I don't know, though, if we'll get one of those crazy traditional, like, whoa, look how cool the field looks because there's snow everywhere kind of games. I think we're going to get one of those, like, ugh, grimy, to your point, grind it out kind of field games where the mud is just everywhere.
The mud is everywhere, but then, you know, there's the wind chill factor.
Ooh.
And for the nice, tender hands of the Southern California athlete,
right,
being hit up beside your fingers with that cold, particularly for the receivers, might be interesting.
Cold weather golf is a thing. You know that, right?
Well, cold weather, period, is a thing. I mean, Peyton Manning struggled with it as well. I mean, some QBs, you know, if you didn't, you know, spend a great deal of time getting accustomed to it coming up, it's really hard to catch up once you become a pro. We've seen that time and time again. I don't know how Aaron Rodgers does it other than the fact that he got to sit behind Brett Favre for so long and become accustomed to it because, as we know, he's a California guy.
Yeah.
But golf.
But he's lived there, right, forever now. Yeah, right. Yeah. At least during the season, he lives there. So here's a bad Jared Goff stat for cold weather golf. Jared Goff has played 2 NFL games with the kickoff temperature below freezing in his career. Now, if we go below 40 degrees, he's actually played in like 8 or 9, and the numbers aren't great there either. But these are the worst of them. He's 0-2 against the spread. I'd have to look up, I guess, what the actual games were. But here's the worst part. 0 touchdowns, 5 interceptions in those 2 games.
So when did those games happen? Were they under the Jeff Fisher years?
No, I'd have to look it up here. Let me see. If you give me a second, because I can get. I know one of them happened the year they went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, was that the Chicago game? Probably.
Yes, it was the Chicago game. Yes, that's
and
it.
And as someone who has lived in Chicago and has been in Soldier Field in the dead of winter, I can tell you, that's not all on golf. That weather ain't no joke. I left a game at halftime, and I was in snow pants and jeans and long johns, and I couldn't stay warm enough to enjoy the game and just left.
Yeah, I've been to that stadium in Soldier Field. It is brutal.
It's brutal.
And there's not enough alcohol in the world that will keep me there. I did also leave a blowout game when I was there. I was there for a Notre Dame Miami game, and I was like, nah, it's like 41-3. It's the third quarter.
Oh, God,
I'm done.
Yeah.
Get the hell out of here. Sure, yeah. So I get it. But You know, I have not been on the golf bandwagon for a while now. I have been off the bandwagon for a minute, and I feel like this game, look, I think this game could be defining for him on a number of levels, as we've discussed numerous times. But I also think, and maybe you agree or disagree, that this game could also be defining for the other quarterback who is a surefire Hall of Famer.
This is absolutely the most important game in Aaron Rodgers' career. The most important game.
Well, even no, it can't. The Super Bowl
it was not.
Or Super Bowl you're not, was not. No,
it was the most important at the time. Mm-hmm. But as of right now, this game is very important for Aaron Rodgers for a multitude of reasons.
Okay.
Number one, remember what he said when they lost in the playoffs last year? That it would have been great to be home. Where the weather works, blah, blah, blah. You got your wish.
He does. And they're 6.5-point favorites in this game.
Number two, he's the season's MVP. He played brilliantly during the regular season. Absolutely brilliant, lights out. Like, no, hands down, the MVP of the league. The MVP needs to defend his home turf in the postseason. Number three, he's only been to as many Super Bowls as golf. Mm-hmm. He's only been to one Super Bowl. Now, granted, he won it.
Right.
And that's fantastic. But for someone who arguably is the best QB of not just this season, but perhaps of his generation, when you factor in not accomplishments in terms of Super Bowl wins, but just his skill set, he might be the best of his generation to only have one trip to the Super Bowl, but have had an opportunity to host multiple playoff games.
I say this as someone who grew up a fan of Dan Marino, who played on teams that he elevated, you know what I mean, that weren't all that good. And I feel like Aaron has a lot of that in his career. And it's even worse, I think, for Aaron Rodgers because, you know, he doesn't have like an owner, right? Like there's no like Stan Kroenke, right? Davis or Spanos, where you can go and say, hey, man, we need this, right? Like, that team isn't like that. And you know, it's certainly not a free agent destination. I feel like there's just a lot working against you there. It's why Brett Favre, for as great as he was, only won one Super Bowl.
Yeah, but he went to two.
Right? But I think Rodgers will go to another one.
I did too 10 years ago when he, you know, had just finished winning his first one. And yet here we are, right? Russell Wilson's been to a couple, right?
Like, well, but I also think as time has gone by, LZ, is that it makes it worse because with Rodgers, you know, as time has gone by, I think less and less people would want to be in Green Bay as opposed to like, you know, like think about it, in the 90s, it's like, all right, Reggie White was traded to Green Bay. It's like, what the hell? You know what I'm saying? Like, it is what it is. Guys now will not let themselves be traded to places like that.
I totally get that aspect of it. But when we sit around on the radio station 5, 6, 7 years from now, and we're debating the greats, we're not going to say Aaron Rodgers and the Packers had difficulties holding on to talent because Green Bay is not an ideal location for free agents. We're going to say he went to one Super Bowl. And so that's the reason why I feel this game is so career defining for him, because everything that you would want, your home, you're playing brilliantly, your team has the number one overall seed, you're facing a team that, you know, obviously is a playoff team and they won a playoff game, but you know the QB is hurt and still somewhat of a question mark in terms of whether or not the other team can lean on him the way the Packers can lean on you. Like, it is completely set up for him to win.
Yeah, I don't buy that. I don't. But you know what? We got a break because we have Warren Moon coming up, and I don't want to be late for Warren. Let's ask him all this.
Yes.
Let's ask him about golf. Let's ask him about the Rams. Obviously, you know, he works for the Seahawks. He sees the Rams twice a year. We'll talk to Warren Moon in 4 minutes.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Sedano and LZ with you here on 710 ESPN. Ramona Shelburne going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour. We got a lot of NBA stuff to get into with this Harden deal from yesterday and what that means for the Lakers and the Clippers championship chase here in Southern California. So a lot of stuff to get into with Ramona in a little bit. Clint Yates will join us at 6 o'clock. But now we're joined by the Hall of Famer, Warren Moon, joins us now here because we were talking about the Rams and the Packers, and we were having this quarterback discussion, and who better to have than Warren Moon. Warren, thank you so much for the time. Hope you and yours are all safe and healthy. So we were having this conversation about Aaron Rodgers, and basically, and LZ, I don't want to state your position incorrectly, so please correct me if I'm wrong. I'm of the position, Warren, that I feel like Aaron, having gone and won one Super Bowl, is impressive enough for me, considering the limitations of the Green Bay situation. No real owner, right? Like, it's just a weird dynamic there. Obviously not a free agent destination. Now, LZ, you believe that he probably should have done more? Is that accurate?
I believe that this game is extremely important for the legacy of Aaron Rodgers, because of who he is and what he has accomplished. He has done things that is really, really difficult to duplicate. He's obviously the MVP of this season, but if he loses as at home as the number one seed to a football team with an injured QB coming off a thumb surgery from a couple weeks ago, it would be a terrible blemish that this might be the biggest game of his career.
Warren?
Well, you know, he's had playoff losses at home before. Eli Manning beat him in the playoffs when they went to the Super Bowl a number of years ago. And so they definitely have an advantage when they play in Green Bay at Lambeau Field because of the weather conditions and that. The crowd won't be much of a factor because there won't be any crowd. Maybe there is going to be a small crowd. I'm really not sure, but I don't think it'll be as much as a factor as it normally is. But playing up there at Lambeau this time of year is something that's different for any team that comes in there because they're just not used to that. So they definitely have a huge advantage. They have had a week off, so they've had a chance to get themselves healthy. Aaron has had an unbelievable season this year. So, yeah, if he does not win this football game, it will be a catastrophic disappointment because you would expect for them to beat the Rams with an injured quarterback and an injured Aaron Donald as well, and then be able to go on and advance into the playoffs. So this is a huge game for him, no question about it.
Yeah, and listen, I think he, of course, there's 6.5-point favorite for a reason. I just look at it as, I don't think his career has been a disappointment to this point, though.
No,
you know what I mean?
No. I'm not curious about the disappointment.
We're just saying that it would definitely add to his legacy. You know, if you start talking about the greatest of all time, that's what they start comparing you with Super Bowls after all the other things that you've done in your career as an individual. So if he's able to get another Super Bowl on top of the one he already has, that's just going to increase his legacy. He's going to have a great legacy no matter what, but it just increases his legacy if he goes on to win this Super Bowl. And he probably has the best chance to do it this year as he's had in a while.
On the flip side, Warren, are we, in L.A. specifically, are we not valuing Jared Goff enough? This is a guy who has gone to multiple arenas on the road in the postseason and beaten QBs who have won Super Bowls. And he's been to one himself. And yet, if you ask the average fan, they're probably not still sold on him despite all that success.
Yeah, it is kind of unfair to Jared. I saw Jared at New Orleans a few years ago when they went to the Super Bowl and they beat New Orleans in the NFC Championship game. And he was a big reason why that happened. He brought them from behind in the second half of that football game. They ended up winning it. And then he goes on the Super Bowl. Didn't have a great Super Bowl. And I think a lot of people are holding that against him, that he didn't have a great Super Bowl against Bill Belichick and their defense. But he's a guy that does have some limitations, and I think the Rams know that. I think other people know that. And if he can play within his strengths, which is when they're running the football and he can go play action and throw the football, he's as good as there is. Now, if they can't run the football and it becomes a drop back game where they're in long yardage situations on third down, that's where he tends to struggle, when it's a drop back game and he gets pressure around him. So you just have to keep him within his framework of what he does best, and he's as good as there is at doing that.
Warren, how surprised were you at the way that the last game played out, the Rams win over Seattle? Obviously, you're very close to that Seattle team. I was stunned at just the way the game kind of unfolded. Where were you on that?
Well, you know, I was really nervous going into that game because the Rams have always played the Seahawks very well. And whenever you play a team within your division, they're going to be a much tougher out because they know you so well. They had just played the Rams, I think, 2 or 3 weeks prior to that and had beaten them at home. But it was one of those games that went right down to the end. Russell Wilson made a big play at the end on a touchdown pass, and they won that game, I think, 20-9. This game, because Seattle, first of all, could not stop the run with Akers, who didn't play in the game prior. He ran the ball very well against them, I think over 130 yards. And the Seahawks defense could not do nothing against the Rams defense. They couldn't protect Russell. They couldn't run the ball consistently. And it didn't surprise me that the Rams came up here and won, because I was very nervous going in because of the way they've played against us. I think they were 5-3 against us over the last 8 games. So they know how to play against the Seattle Seahawks and Russell Wilson.
What happens to a QB when his job, starting job that is questioned? The way that Goff has had to deal with the Wolf starting, we call him the Wolf. You know, his name is Wolf. We call him the Wolf here. The Wolf starting, even though he felt he was able to go, there's questions about whether or not, you know, the Wolf will be valuable in Green Bay versus him. We find out the Wolf isn't available. Like, what happens in your brain when you're in the postseason and your starting job is debated?
We know, LZ, I think as a quarterback, you have to learn how to block out the noise. First of all, if you are able to hear the noise, you have to be strong enough to block it out. But you want to try and make sure you don't put yourself in situations where you have to listen to it, where you're not going on social media, you're not listening to the news, you're not reading the newspaper. You're just kind of blocking yourself out throughout the week to get ready for the game and just keep your focus there. So if Jared can do that, I think he'll be in good shape. And I think that's just part of the position. I think quarterbacks are being judged almost every week, because no matter how great you are, if you have a bad game, people are going to start looking at ways to criticize you. It doesn't matter if it's Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers or whoever. You have a bad game that Monday, you're going to get armchair quarterback. You're going to be second guessed until you play again. So the best thing to do is to try and block that noise out as best you can. Keep your focus on getting ready for that next one and go out there and show everybody what you can do.
Warren Moon joining us here on Sedano and LZ on 710 ESPN. So, Warren, LZ and I were talking about this before the show today. Have you seen the Tom Flores Coors Light commercial that's on television right now?
I have. It's pretty good. I like it.
Yeah, it's hilarious. Now, look, I'm not even a Raiders fan, but I am Latino, and I do feel like Coors and Tom did such a great job of not only illustrating his own resume, but the fact that he was a pioneer, right? First Latino quarterback, first Latino coach to win a championship in that sport. Like, the fact that he's not in the Hall of Fame seems like a travesty to me. Now, and maybe I'm biased because I'm also Latino, but you played in that sport. You played against him, I believe. How is it someone like that is not in the Hall of Fame?
Well, I know he's been considered a number of times. I think he's been up to the finals a few different times. So I think it's just a matter of time before he does get in there. But it tends to take coaches a little bit longer than some other positions. And I'm not really sure what coach's record is overall as far as the course of his whole career. I know he does have the 2 Super Bowl wins, but I don't know what his one-loss record is as a whole as a head coach. So that might have something to do with it as well. But I think he will eventually get into the Hall of Fame. There's no question about it. Most of those guys who get up to that stage, eventually they do get in.
Yeah. Just for posterity's sake, 97 and 87 overall. Obviously, those years in Seattle really hurt him. But yeah. I mean, the 2 Super Bowls and 2, by the way, he won as an assistant and as a player well. So, you know, he's got that going for him as well. But yeah, it's just wild to me.
I don't know if they combine the two of whether you're a coach or a player. You're either going to go in as a player or as a coach. So I don't think your player record's going to have much to do with your coach record, and vice versa.
Warren, you know, sticking with this theme a little bit about diversity in the NFL in general, what are your thoughts about this conversation about hiring practices, whether it's for a head coach or some team executive? You think the NFL is doing a good job?
You know, I think they're trying. I think they're aware of it, and they're just trying to figure out the best way to get it done without making it look like it's token hires or you're giving out too many incentives for teams to just bring in an African American at that a certain position. So I think they're trying to figure out what is the best way to get these teams to do that. We've heard a lot of different suggestions. Some of those suggestions I haven't liked. The Rooney Rule, there's no question it hasn't worked the way it was intended to work when they first installed it many years ago. So I think they're trying to come up with the ideas to get more opportunities for African Americans and minorities to get jobs as head coaches and in the front office. But there's still some work to be done on it. There's no question about it. I see this year there's a lot of African American candidates that are being being interviewed, and I think that's a good thing because the more times you can interview for as many different jobs, you might not get that job, but if you did a good job on that interview, maybe the word gets around that you could be a candidate somewhere else. So the more opportunities you can interview, that's going to be a good thing to start. And then we have to see some of these jobs get actually offered.
The great Warren Moon, Hall of Famer, joining us here on Sedano and LZ here on 710 ESPN. Warren, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking the time. Stay healthy and stay safe. Thank you again.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me on. Take care.
Thank you, sir.
There he is. All right, coming up next, LZ, you and I are going to dive into this Brooklyn team and one thing that nobody seems to be talking about when it comes to them. We'll be back in 5 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sedano and LZ with you here on 710 ESPN. Thanks to the Hall of Famer Warren Moon for joining us there. Super excited, by the way, for Marvel Studios' WandaVision. The universe is expanding. Marvel Studios' first original series starts streaming this Friday only on Disney+. Check out Marvel Studios' WandaVision, original series streaming Friday only on Disney+. So, LZ, we were off yesterday because the Lakers were playing.
We were off this week, George.
I mean, we've only been on today, basically. So we hadn't had a chance to really discuss this whole, you know, Harden to Brooklyn thing. But you and I, before the show, were talking about it. And you brought up a great point that I feel like everyone is focusing on the Harden part of this, which obviously makes sense because he just got dealt. But you brought up a point to me that I thought was great, which was we're neglecting one aspect of this. And what was that?
Which is, why has it got to be Kyrie's the one that's got to make all the sacrifices? Why do we normally assume that it's Kyrie who's got to find out how he can fit in? Mm-hmm. I get it. KD and Harden are great players. They're great offensive players, and KD has a defense to go with it. But Fat Harden hasn't done anything to just automatically be assumed that he should be elevated over Kyrie. Kyrie is the one that hit the shot in the finals. Kyrie is the one that LeBron spotted and said, I want to play with that in Cleveland.
Right, Kyrie's, but Kyrie's also the guy that LeBron kind of rolls his eyes at now. You know what I mean? Like,
now, because they aren't together anymore and he's no longer able to have the same level of influence that perhaps, you know, we didn't know all that LeBron was dealing with, did we? Now, perhaps we have a little bit more information and perhaps we look at LeBron as far as his leadership a lot differently. I know I do. You know, I remember when, you know, Meta World Peace, but then Ron Artest was in Indiana and was balling out. Then Isaiah Thomas gets fired. And then you start seeing some behavior from Ron Artest that we weren't cognizant of. And it shed some light as to some of the things that perhaps Isaiah Thomas was doing as a head coach that was helping his team that we weren't aware of. And I feel the same way now about the leadership of LeBron, because I don't think Kyrie just started doing this, right? So he found a way to keep him lock and step enough for them to win a championship. And that's not an easy thing to do.
Okay, I'll give you a story that I heard from the first year LeBron went back in to Cleveland, that there were guys on that team, okay, who didn't even have Kyrie's number weeks into the season. Weeks. Not like a couple days, like weeks into the season. In Boston, I was told by, let's just call him an anonymous source, that while he was there, Kyrie, that there was literally a stretch where he didn't talk to anyone, not a coach, not a teammate, not anyone, for almost a month. So to your point, I think those things are playing into this, right? Like, I think Brooklyn made that deal, obviously, because they want a big three. But I also think they're like, we don't know what's going to happen with Kyrie. So we might as well have an insurance policy for it. Now, they gave up a lot, okay? They basically gave up a decade's worth of draft, okay? Like, because here's the thing. This is the way I look
again,
at it.
Again, by the way.
Again, correct. Correct. Again, yes. Excellent point. Because here's the way I look at it, LZ. You know, the Clippers gave Sam Presti all those picks, which was still less than this, right? For what in essence really was Paul George and Kawhi, right? Like, that sealed the deal. You know what I mean?
Right.
And the Jrue Holiday deal, for as much as you and I don't like it because of what they gave up, in essence, that got Giannis to sign the max, right?
Yep.
Even AD, to an extent, got LeBron to sign an extension, right? You know, unless KD signs an extension, you know, until that happens, I still feel like that's a lot. But I do get it in this regard, because I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth. I get it. Because we don't know about Kyrie and his future with basketball.
We don't. That is an excellent point. We don't know. I will say that from my perspective, that's a separate conversation. My conversation was about if they all three are on the court together,
gotcha,
what should be the pecking order? And my feelings are, James Harden, as great as a player as he is, why are we just naturally just going to assume that he should be getting the number two spot behind KD as opposed to Kyrie?
All right, I'll do it on the other side. I'll tell you why I think on the other side. Plus, Momo's going to stop by. We got what you need to know coming up next. Stick around. Sedano and LZ, back in 3 minutes.